Welcome to Garden Society. We are a sisterhood of women exploring holistic ways to rejuvenate from the rigors of daily life. We are wives and moms, sisters and girlfriends, bill payers, breadwinners, multitaskers, and peacemakers.
We invite you to explore the possibility of elevating every day with our favorite plant. Grant yourself permission to chill out, smoke a joint, and get inspired to find your joy with us on Garden Society, the podcast.
This gathering of the Garden Society is now in session.
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us on another session of Garden Society, the podcast. We're so excited to have you here today as we talk about the world of wellness.
So today we're going to be talking about the value of self-care, and we have two wonderful women with us who are going to give us real self-care examples and ideas, ways that we can really take care of ourselves day to day. First, we have Miss Beck Hopkins.
Welcome. Thank you for being here.
Welcome, Beck. She is an experienced wine communication professional. She's been in the industry for 25 plus years. Beck was the first person who hired me into the wine industry, and come full circle how I met Aaron and also our other guest, Kathy. Beck spent a lot of time in the wine business, spanning the globe from all the way from Australia to here in California. She founded this amazing wellness company for wine professionals called A Balanced Glass in March of 2018. It came out of her years in the wine industry, realizing that, you know, day to day in when you're working in wine, you've got to be drinking, you've got to be on, you've got to be, you know, you're enjoying wine, but it's also like finding that balance on the other side of taking care of yourself. So we're really excited to have you here to tell us your story.
We also have Kathy Hoyho on the line with us from Atlanta. So Kathy is working in A Balanced Glass with Beck. Kathy is also the co-founder and CEO of Analytics. It's a big data service to the wine industry. So she is a female tech entrepreneur combined with also a contributor to Forbes and Inc. writing about wine and entrepreneurship. Kathy is also the award-winning author of the book Hungry for Wine, Seeing the World Through the Lens of a Wine Glass. She joined A Balanced Glass with Beck right about launch time. So we'd love to hear your story. I think Beck, will turn it over to you and you can tell us a little bit about what is A Balanced Glass, just to set the foundation. And then how did you have that spark?
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Erin. And it's amazing to be here today. I was on my drive over here today thinking exactly the same serendipitous nature of how we're all sitting now in this opportunity together. So thank you from both of us. Yeah, I mean, A Balanced Glass really came out of me being pissed off one day.
That's how it happens.
I was at a conference for 700 women, female wine professionals in Napa. And over the 3 days, we talked about everything from career development, gender equality, pay parity. And I sat in this room and said, you know, no one here is talking about alcohol. No one is talking about the effect that alcohol has, how wine is part of our life. It's part of our jobs. It's expected of us to engage with it every day. And that really, it's kind of the thing we don't talk about. And so I went home and I did what I do, which is I started to write. And I wrote an article that I ended up sending to an editor of a big wine trade magazine in Europe, Meininger's Business International, and wrote to Felicity, the editor, and said, am I nuts? Like, am I the only person that feels this way, that we have this kind of clandestine topic that we don't talk about? And she said, no, I want to publish it. And so kind of fast forward, she published that story that was the most widest read story on that platform for the month of March last year.
Wow.
And feedback came in from all over the world, from all areas of the business, from all people in different areas of the industry saying, I feel that way too. I have issues. Why don't we talk about this, et cetera, et cetera. And so then there was a follow-up article that said, okay, how can we start to address this? And I'm like, there's an idea here. So I went home and started to come up with some thoughts, came up with the name of Balanced Glass, rang Kathy and said, I want to do this thing. We had met and had many discussions about mindfulness and our yoga practice and our meditation practice. And she was brave enough to kind of jump on board. So here we are. I think we're coming up on a year next month.
Congratulations. So, that's really inspiring. Yeah. It's amazing when we think about our entrepreneurial journey with Garden Society, the parallels. Mm-hmm. Lucky for you, you found this opportunity to create a business in an industry where you were like, there's a gap here and we need to address it. It took me actually quitting mm-hmm. to realize that I had to create this new opportunity for myself. Mm-hmm. So I really commend you to see that and see how the worlds merge.
Well, and we talk a lot about partnership and how, you know, mm-hmm. we're on this journey together. And I think it's really neat that you had someone in Kathy that you could call right away and say, you know, I have this idea, and she's kind of living in that same world as well. So it would be fun to hear just kind of, Kathy, when you received that call, like, what was your, you know, was it an immediate like, oh, yes, this is definitely, you know, something that we should address? Or what were your thoughts around that when you heard got the call?
You know, it was, well, I was like, first of all, this is Beck who's asking me this. And it's, you know, just tremendous respect for Beck as a professional and for her way of thinking and the experience that she brings, like within the industry. And clearly this is something that just, Becky was speaking so passionately about it. And so, and you were pissed off. You really were pissed off. And I read that article that Felicity published in Meininger's, and then the response, the follow-up article was like, good grief, we have touched a nerve here. Like the community, the wine community, internationally speaking, has just sort of sat up and taken notice of what was going on here. So that when Beck, you know, reached out and said, let's do this together, at first my gut was just like, yes, of course, I'm in, sign me up. And I didn't know what it was going to be exactly. And it had what my participation was going to be. But pretty quickly, I think that we settled into a routine. We came to know each other in a different way, which has been a really beautiful evolution of the whole thing. And being in the wine industry previously as a writer, currently as an entrepreneur, and also contributing to A Balanced Glass, those are all different ways to be a person in wine. And that has been incredibly gratifying and just really exciting. But it's driven by, always has been driven by, Beck's initial passion and response to this just question that I think you felt in your gut, Beck, was like, what is going on here? Like, why are we not, there's an elephant in the room. Like, why are we not talking about it? Mm. So that's, I think, just what I was responding to initially, for sure.
Yeah, and I think the elephant in the room was also noticed by the organizers of the event. So that article was, Kath, that was 2 years ago, because last year we did I called them on it. Mm. And I go, why aren't you guys talking about wellness? And they said, well, we're going to give you a respite lounge at our conference next year, and you can run a meditation and breathwork workshop. So step up. And that was a big kicker. And from that, it was actually Kathy, because she's a journalist by training. She said, you know, we need to give people practical things they can do out of this, because there's no point us, you know, sitting in our little lotus positions and pontificating our navels. So we wrote a 30-day, right?
It's so true.
Right?
Yeah.
So we wrote a 30-day practice. And every day, every morning, Kathy would write a column for a day, a post, and then I would write the next day. And she would write the next day, and I would write the next day. And we fed off each other. And that forced us to kind of launch whether we were ready or not. And our community was like, I think, 5 readers, including my mom. But that was kind of how we started, right?
Because you've got to start somewhere.
And I think it's inspiring to have a team and to do it with somebody else, because you hold each other accountable and you help work through those hard times mm-hmm. and push people forward. I mean, the timing is really fantastic for this interview, because my husband is actually leaving tomorrow to Vancouver Food and Wine.
Oh, yeah.
And mm-hmm. so we were talking last night about his trip and was he excited, and you know, Kathy, you and I met through the wine as well, from a personal side. And we've got to have a great relationship together and build a deep friendship from those wine conversations. And what he was worried about is he's like, oh, I'm just not looking forward to going into this thing where I have to be on all day. I'm expected to eat 3 meals a day. I'm expected to drink my own wine for 12 hours a day and entertain these guests. And it's romantic in theory, but the actual application, here we are trying to live a better life and to balance. And what kind of advice would you guys have for somebody like myself or my husband who's literally packing as we speak?
Yeah, it's a great question. And certainly I would say the one word that comes to mind is discipline. And there is very much a perception out there that it is this glamorous, amazing existence, that it's the wine business and it's glamorous, not only for the food, for the wine, but for the food, because you really have that opportunity to eat in the best restaurants in the world. It's expected of you to eat a 5-course lunch followed by a 5-course dinner. And that's not optional for a lot of people. And they don't actually feel empowered to have a decision around what is their job and what are the limits of, you know, what's expected of them. And particularly like a festival like Vancouver, which is high profile, you have very good quality chefs. And, you know, we all love eating great food and drinking great wine. And so if you're presented with Thomas Keller doing a dish, you probably want to taste it.
Right.
And so it really comes back to discipline of knowing, your understanding your own metabolism. What can your body tolerate from a physiological point of view? You know, what stage of life are you at? You know, have you just gone through a dental surgery where, you know, you can't eat certain things? It's not comfortable.
Right.
Are you in a personal situation where, you know, you're in an abstinence phase? I mean, all these things.
Even when I was pregnant in the wine industry and I was like, oh, no, I'm not drinking, I got the funniest looks from people. And I was like, oh, okay, fine, fill my glass. And then I would kind of like have a sip and taste it. And it was fine, because especially if it was beautiful wine. Mm-hmm. But it is this like expectation that, you know, you consume and you enjoy and you're, you know, social, and there's a lot that you're held to. And especially someone that, you know, I was lower ranking in the, on the totem pole. So I definitely wanted to like make a good impression on people. And it is fun. You know, I was in my early 30s, late 20s at the time. And so I wanted to like really dive in and enjoy all of the good life that I wasn't enjoying, you know, normally, because it, you know, it's just, it's fun, but you do, you start to get a little worn down. And so I love this idea of, a lot of the premise of this is helping women give themselves permission to ask for what they want and give themselves what they need. Mm-hmm. And so empowering people in the wine industry to do that through your work with a balanced glass is really is going to flip things on their head in the wine industry. I think that's really great.
It applies to all industries, right? Mm-hmm. I actually did dry January because I was going to Cabo and I wanted to lose a few pounds. Mm-hmm. I weaned my son. I just needed to kind of reset. And so everybody looked at me, dry January, why would you do that? And I was like, oh, don't worry, I'm not sober. I'm smoking a lot of weed and I'm eating cannabis. And they're like, oh, that's so great. Now I'm getting people who are like, how do I do dry February?
Right.
So it's this perception of like, consuming is okay. Mm-hmm. And I think people have insecurities if they view you as, you know, whether it's wine, whether it's cannabis, whatever. As soon as I told people I was consuming cannabis but not wine, all of a sudden I was fine.
Yeah.
But to not consume anything was super weird for people to grasp.
To add to what you've been saying about this amazing world that we're in, I mean, both wine and cannabis and the crossovers between the two geographically and just lifestyle speaking, I mean, it is. Can we just pause for a second and say it is an amazing space to be in? And we spend our lives, every day of our lives, in this space. And it is fantastic. And we're so incredibly fortunate to be doing that. And for me, I feel like there's just so much gratitude that I wake up to this every day. Like, I wake up and this is my life. Like, really, like, I get to do this every single day, which is just, for me, the basis for a lot of gratitude, which actually leads to my savoring the experience more than indulging the experience, which comes straight to the point of mindfulness.
I love that.
I love that.
Yes.
That's such a great perspective. It's all about perspective shift. And that's what we talk about when you're empowered to choose and you're empowered to view things for yourself differently. And That's really, really awesome. On that note, what does self-care mean to you, Kathy, as an entrepreneur, as a mom of twins, with a balanced glass and all your writing and your business? Like, is it really that perspective shift? Is there more to it? What do you see for self-care?
I think gratitude is like the sort of the grandmother of all of this. I feel like if I can just remember how lucky I am to be healthy, first of all, to have healthy relationships, to have healthy children, to have the most psychologically healthy person I've ever met as my partner in life. Mm-hmm. That's where it starts. But that actually sort of, you were talking about giving permission, recognizing how all of these gifts that are all around me every day turns into wanting to take care of those gifts and wanting to use them in the best possible way that I can. I've been given them. And I feel like if I don't use them, and if I don't care for them, then I'm just sort of kicking in the head whoever it was or whatever it was that gave me those gifts in the first place. So I actually feel like it's a little bit of a circle, a feedback circle. I've been given the gifts, and now I need to take care of them, and now I need to use them.
I love that. That resonates so much with me. So how do you kind of apply that in a real way day to day? Like, do you take a moment for meditation, or do you do it during your yoga? Like, how do you apply that?
Yeah, I take lots of moments for meditation. it's an incredibly important part of my life, of my everyday. And I want to talk about a program that I'm doing, actually, to sort of put that out there. But in addition to that, I think getting over the guilt, or sort of the idea that we should feel guilty about taking time for ourselves, like, I'm so over that. I'm so over it, because I have to, in order to be okay with everybody around me. So I'm just want to say that I grew up in a Catholic family. I can feel guilty about anything. I have come to the point where I do not feel guilty about this, about self-care. So it is about a meditation. I do spiritual yoga, which is what I call spiritual yoga, a couple times a week. I also do vinyasa, hot flow exercise, quote-unquote transactional yoga, a couple times a week as well. So they're all, I spend a lot of time on the mat and a lot of time on the cushion. But what I've started doing just this past month is thanks to my teachers, applied and been accepted to this program run by Tara Brock and Jack Kornfield about mindfulness meditation teacher training. And it's a 2-year program, and it's actually really, really intense in terms of the education and the learning how to teach. There's a lot more to it than just sit down and close your eyes. I mean, that is what we want to do, but there's a lot more around the context of what's happening with that. And it's a self-exploration, which is not different than self-indulgence, mm-hmm. I feel like, because the end goal is when you sit down to meditate, or when I've been taught to meditate, the end goal is to have compassion for everybody you encounter, including yourself, when you stand up from the cushion.
That's beautiful.
And the Jack Kornfield, Tara Brock, for anyone who's mm-hmm. never heard of either of those teachers, they are the two best Buddhist mindfulness teachers, I think, in our modern era. And Tara has a fantastic podcast that we can put in the show notes.
Yeah, definitely.
It's extraordinary.
Oh, great.
And, you know, I think to Kathy's point, we have a yoga practice, right? We both have our own meditation practice, but that doesn't need to be on a mountain. You know, it's on the subway. It's in your car. It's preparing your kids' breakfast. It's every moment of every day is an opportunity to be present and to be mindful and to make yourself a priority. Because one of the big things we have, of course, is I don't have time to meditate. I don't have time to go to class. I don't have time. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that we explore in our weekly stories is super practical ways that you can meditate. You can, you know, here's 5 tips on what to do when you're on the road. Here's 5 breathing techniques you can use that take 30 seconds that will help reset So to your question about the practicality of it, that's a big foundation for what we do with a balanced glass is we go into our own education and our own work because this is the work we love and this is the work we're meant to be doing. But we can then bring that back and translate it into a way that's practical for people so that we can kind of go, we've gone and done the research, we've tried it out ourselves, this is how we think it can work, give it a shot yourself and, you know, tell us what you think. The tell us what you think part of it is really critical because in our community, it's a complete judgment-free zone, mm-hmm. you know, and this isn't about, to your point about, are you eating cannabis or are you drinking wine? We're really, we have no opinion on any of that. The point is at the end of it, you're making wellness a priority for yourself and you have compassion for yourself, you're present, you're showing up and you're doing it. That is the most important part of it. And when people can get past that judgment or that fear of being judged, it opens up a whole different dialogue that then brings us to be able to have other discussions around my eating isn't great, my digestion's terrible, or think I'm kind of on a slippery slope with what I'm consuming, or I've just come back and I'm working 80 hours a week. Having that kind of soundboard and that additional, having done the work on it, it helps the community. And if we don't have, you know, a thought on it, we'll find you someone in the community that will. And that's the other part of it is people really appreciate the ability to be able to talk across country, across role, across gender, across everything to say, oh, there's someone else out there that might be like me. And that's, you know, through Meet the Tribe, which is every week we profile someone in the industry, any stage of life, any stage of career, just someone that's doing something we think contributes. And that brings that theory to life. People can go, oh, cool, Erin Gore, I met her once. Oh, you know, what are her challenges? You know, these are her things. How does she manage it? These are her things. And we are able to connect people to each other.
I love that because, so I don't know if either of you know this. I actually had a hypnobirth. So an interesting tidbit about me, I guess, as I've gone through this like motherhood entrepreneur journey, I'm super goal oriented. So when I was going to have a baby, I really wanted to have an all natural meditative labor. And so it was really important to me. So I trained and trained and trained basically my whole pregnancy for self-hypnosis and meditation. And I did it. So I was in labor 42 hours and I basically meditated through my whole labor to the point I didn't say a word in the hospital until I got to the time to push. So the nurses were like, oh, that was the first natural labor I've seen. The young nurse said that. The old nurse was like, yeah, right. You're going to do a hypnobirth. Everyone tries and everyone fails. And I did it. So what's interesting is the power of the mind and the power of your position mentally and what you want into fear versus joy, mm-hmm. pleasure versus pain, how it's all just a positioning. Mm-hmm. But then fast forward, so I have this beautiful baby. Here I get the power of meditation, but I could not find the time for the last year to spend any time at all meditating. And I value it and I understand what it can do for you, but I just couldn't prioritize it. So it's interesting as we talk about on this wellness journey with the podcast, and this is our year of joy, is like being able to make space for me to do it again. And so I can't wait to check out A Balanced Glass to find more practical tips, mm-hmm. being super busy, finding that time to be able to do it, even though I understand it and value it, I just couldn't find the time.
Well, and what resonated with me and what Beck said was that it's not even about like making the time to do it. It's integrating it into what you're already doing. So like you're saying, we spend a lot of time on the road. So like, practicing deep breathing, doing a body check, those kinds of things. I am always so curious as to like how people find the time for that physical activity outside of, or I shouldn't say find the time, make the time for that physical activity outside of like all of the other daily things that you're going through. And I think that's where I'm really struggling as like a mom, an entrepreneur, a wife, a friend, you know, all of the hats that we wear. I'm really looking for the space to be physical for myself. So to like practice yoga or go for walks or whatever that is. What do you guys tell people that, you know, so many people in the wine industry, I'm sure, are going through the same struggle. Like, where do you fit that in?
Can I put a little bit of a carrot out there?
Yes.
For a reason to motivate you to find the time. And actually, Erin, it goes to what you said about for your hypno-labor, the mind is unbelievably capable. It's unbelievably capable. And I feel like we're constantly underestimating ourselves about what we could do. As you demonstrated through your labor. I mean, that's amazing. I didn't know that about you. That's amazing. I'm like, oh my God, like I'm just sort of bowing over here.
I know. I'm so impressed by that. I had as medicated a birth as you could have possibly had. I think it's fantastic.
Oh my God. Okay, so pause and sort of notice that for a second. But then also, I feel like the what you get when you meditate is that you, when you turn inward and turn sort of toward this mindfulness and accessing our minds, is this really deep well of juiciness, this really deep well of wisdom, and this really deep kind of quietness on the inside. And if I didn't do that, I'd be a mess. I'd be all over the place. I'd be all over the place. So that also is where, frankly, my best ideas come from. The name of the company, the name of the book, the name of, you know, sort of the next thing that I'm going to write about and how I'm going to write about it. That all happens either on the mat or in the cushion, on the cushion when I kind of look for that deep well that's inside us and accessible to us all the time. And it also makes me much more efficient about what I'm doing, because then I'm able to prioritize, and I'm able to sort of, especially if I'm sitting and I'm meditating and some thought comes into my head and I open my eyes, that's like an earthquake happening is when I open my eyes during meditation, because then something has come to me and it's like, oh, that's what this is about.
Problem solved.
And I wouldn't have gotten there if I didn't sit. And so the 10 minutes even sometimes that I take to sit is a trade-off for the 5 hours I would have otherwise been sitting at my computer trying to figure out how I'm going to say what I want to say. So that's part of what motivates me to make the time.
I like, that's great. I feel like even just, you can hear it and like, feel, even though you're all the way in Atlanta, I feel like I can feel it from here, just in like the way you're describing things. I'm like, oh.
And I think what resonates, Kathy, so much with what you say, for my labor, for example, I'm in this wellness coaching program right now as well. And we talk a lot about prioritizing me. And so if I'm really honest about my labor, was it for me or was it for my love for my baby? Because I wanted to bring this baby into the world a certain way. And what I felt at the time was the best way. And so here I can move mountains for other people I love, but what do I do for me? And that's what I'm really trying to focus on this year is to say, like, turn it, like, be really honest and authentic. Am I doing this for me or am I doing this for you, husband, or you, child, or you, friend? Mm. And like, really try. And for some reason, it's hard for me. And I think it's hard for so many women out there to really authentically love ourselves and give ourselves permission to be at the top of the list and do it for us, authentically for me, instead of for my child, instead of for this. And while my labor was beautiful, I would argue it was probably for my child more than it was for me. At the core.
Yeah.
So it's
why can't it be both? Why can't it be for you and for your child and for Tom, for that matter, and for your family? Why, I feel like what I have been frustrated, especially in what I've been writing about these past couple of weeks, frustrated by sort of monolithic truths that we're sort of assuming are right, or things being black and white. I don't know anything that's actually black and white.
It's so true.
There's a lot of grays, my friends. Like, they're just gray everywhere. And sure, some things are more, like, intense than others. But and I'm not saying that we don't have feelings strongly in one direction or another. But it is about both, Erin. Like, it is that you did it for you. And you did it for your son. And you did it for Tom. And you did it because... That's
what you want to bring into the world, literally, like literally brought into the world, physically, this person, embodying what you just did. And it's, you are not out of the equation.
Kathy, did you?
It is for you.
Sorry to interrupt you. Did you move? Because you're breaking up a little bit.
I'm here. I'm facing my office. I'm still in the same room.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I want to make sure we get all of this goodness.
No, but I love it. Thank you. And I think you're so right. Like, I love that idea around we instead of me or you. It's a we conversation. And we talk a lot about that, about, you know, I love the phrase happy wife, happy life, but it's really true, right? Like, what do I need to be happy and what does that look like? And then that that like literally percolates into every aspect of everything else.
I would say too that. Sorry.
Happy wife, happy life. Just ask Chris. Completely. Sorry, Beck.
No, I was going to say that, you know, the show up for yourself so you can show up for others, right? Gets talked about a lot. But really, practically, you had me thinking, Carly, you know, what can I do? I'm so busy. I don't have an active practice. If you get on an airplane, you've probably got time when you're standing in line to realign your body in a standing pose of Tadasana. You probably have time when you're putting that bag overhead to think about how you're moving your body anatomically so it's aligned. You probably have time when you're putting a stroller in the car to think about weight distribution, how your body is moving, because the less aches and pains you have, right, you're kind of in a better mood for a start. But then also I think by doing the work, you're going to naturally impact people around you.
I love that. So a while back I heard someone say, you know, people say, oh, I don't have time for this or I don't have time for that. And they said, you have time for whatever you want to have time for. It's about making the time and the space to do whatever that is. And I love the idea of shifting the intention from like, okay, I need to take this amount of time of my day to meditate, or I need to take this amount of time in my day to exercise. But it's more about integrating it into like everything you do. And then in turn, you're more mindful throughout your entire day. Right. And I love that kind of flipping the switch.
Right. And be vocal. Be vocal about what you're doing and what your commitment is, because the more you are vocal about your commitment to yourself, other people will be inspired by that. That happens with us a lot. Kathy just came back from judging at TechSom, where people said, we love what you're doing. Because, you know, and these are people we never would have imagined would even open an email. But they're saying, I read your piece about, you know, your breathwork technique to take me from rookie to rock star. And I was really nervous about going on stage and I did it and it worked and it was awesome.
That's
and we're
so
like,
cool.
Done. Like, shut the gate.
Yeah.
You know, we've kind of.
Mission accomplished.
Yeah. We've done, you know, what we set out to do. So I would say be vocal in what you want and prioritizing yourself. And you'll be amazed at, you know, the support that will come from that.
Well, because I was going to ask kind of like, what would your advice be for us taking this back to like our part in the cannabis industry? And I mean, we're really that industry. It's in such an infancy right now. The industry is being built. Our worlds are shook every day by, you know, whether it's regulations or, you know, taxes, sales, whatever it is. And so to have those practical applications of how we can then be leaders on our side in the cannabis industry about wellness, because just like what you experienced with sitting at this conference with 700 people overindulging in wine and feeling they're not quite taking care of themselves, I feel like that in the cannabis industry. And right now there's so much talk about, you know, there's no side effects of cannabis, or there's no, you know, there's no reason you shouldn't use cannabis. But then as with anything, like there are going to be pain points, or there are going to be things that, like, you know, you don't want to overindulge really in anything. You want balance. And so I think if we can take what you've talked about and take that into our day-to-day working in cannabis, hopefully that can kind of like help spread that then on you know, that side of the coin, or just any, you know, in any aspect of
our
lives. Yeah,
and I, one thing that you might not realize you're already doing a lot of this as an industry on a very macro level. And when I went to, you know, Marcia Gagliardi is my milligram event. Mm-hmm. When I first tasted your product, what blew me away was that you actually give instruction as to potential impact of behavior. You actually said to people, oh, if you have this, this might happen.
Mm-hmm.
In the wine industry, we never speak like that. In alcohol, right. In
beverage
alcohol.
If you drink this
alcohol,
wine, you might be drunk.
Right?
Or whatever
this
it is.
20 ml of mezcal might do this to you.
Right.
How do we know that? Because it's proven on hundreds of years of research.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would say from a wellness point of view, you're already building some of it into your language. And I understand, you know, there's so much crossover to Kathy's point.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fascinating and really inspiring industry to watch because you're bringing that conversation in so much earlier. Sure, you don't have the history of prohibition and all of the economic, just sheer kind of juggernaut of a machine that Bev Alcohol is in the US, but you have this intent, and it's an intent that feels a lot more inclusive and less prohibitionist.
Mm-hmm.
And more about, we're going to actually put the information in your hands, dear consumer, and you guys can make the decision as to your experience. So I would say in the wine, and wine less so because we're more with food and we like to sit down and enjoy, and it's a little more ceremonial than maybe doing a shot of mezcal at Senor Frogs. But, you know, we are really, we're watching a lot of what's happening as well in the cannabis industry that we can learn from. And I think really smart operators and entrepreneurs in wine will be watching and learning. But a big thing is, you know, stay true to your value and be who you are,
mm-hmm.
and keep that really tight. And then that's your barometer when you come back to things changing around you, or, you know, tax regime changing or market access or channel sales opportunities. I think that's important for you as well.
I think it's exciting too, because you speak about prohibition. I mean, how we feel is we're in prohibition right now and we're coming out of it really fast. So you start to see legalization across California, across 32 states now have some form of legalization. And unlike alcohol, it's all very hyper-local at this point. And pretty soon, our future in the next 5 years is going to have legalization nationwide. And you've already seen it on an international basis. Canada, Mexico, Germany. You know, it's a wildfire right now around the globe because people are understanding what cannabis is and the medical benefits that it has. And so I think it's interesting for us to study the alcohol industry and understand what that model looks like and how it works. And your point is so true and resonates so deeply with me around keep true to your values and your messaging and just, you know, drive that messaging forward, because it is an opportunity to create this new type of communication around products that the alcohol industry didn't have the space to do.
And transparency.
And transparency.
One question I'd like to ask before we start to wrap this up. So both of you are entrepreneurs. Both of you have extensive corporate careers. So I'm going to ask you independent. If you were to speak to a woman or a group of women embarking on a new journey of entrepreneurship, what advice would you give them around creating or maintaining your environment of wellness? So I don't know, Kathy, maybe you want to go first?
Yeah, I love this question. Thank you. One of the most important things I think that I did in my entrepreneurial journey was I literally sat down and I wrote down a list. And it was the list of the things that typically and that I know historically and traditionally have kept women back and kept women from succeeding in business and as entrepreneurs. I literally sort of made a list of what those things were. And I kept it visible, like at my desk, because I did not want to do those things. Like I promised myself that I would not do those things. One of them, for example, is undervaluing my work. Another one is seeking permission before I act. Another one was, you know, getting yet another qualification to do something. Like just go and do it. So that I think was psychologically, at least, and emotionally, one of the most important things that I did that I think had the biggest impact on my journey as an entrepreneur.
I have chills over here just because I think that those are so many things that resonate with me and my confidence as an entrepreneur. And I'm like thinking over here, that would be such a fun social media post of like, ladies, here's the list of the things you want to keep in front of you as you're building your business, as you're taking your journey. I think that's so neat.
I wrote about it actually, Carly.
Oh, well, there we go. Oh, we'll have to find that and post that in the show notes. All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was probably the most accidental entrepreneur. It really, for me, when it all began, the best piece of advice that I had that I share is write your list of things you love. Write that really five things that you love. For me, it's making risotto. I love it because it's meditative. Mm-hmm. So when my day is terrible and I just like want to press delete on the whole web platform and destroy everything, I go and make risotto. Because I want to come back to the things that bring me joy and I want to remind myself that I'm here and I'm present and I'm doing it and I remember.
I love that.
And that's something. So I make a lot of risotto right now.
That's so nice.
Okay, Carly, here's our homework assignment from today's podcast. We're going to write down the three things or five things, Kathy. How many things do you not want to be?
Oh my gosh, like for me, it was like eight.
Okay.
Like that was just me. Like just what I knew about, you know, what keeps women back.
So we'll do the five things we don't want to be and the five things that we love and bring us joy.
I love the risotto because that's like such a thing for me in my family. I'm known to make risotto and it's like so meditative in just the action of like the stirring and the pouring the broth into the rice.
Do you want to know how I make risotto?
Yeah.
In my Instapot.
Yeah. Instant pot.
I'm such an entrepreneur, aren't I? The fastest way possible, people.
That's so good.
You and Kat Kinsman can hang out a lot.
So
I love your art form of stirring. I'll watch it on YouTube while I program my Instapot.
I'll come make risotto for you, Erin. This has been such an incredible morning with you guys. I would love for you to share with our listeners how they can either find a balanced glass or read more about what you've spoken about today.
Yeah, sure. So we have our website is www.abalancedglass.com. And we are on Instagram, A Balanced Glass. We're on Twitter, A Balanced Glass. Kathy's own social feeds are Kathy Hoye, H-U-Y-G-H-E. We'll put them in the show notes.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find us there. You can subscribe, join our tribe, which is a simple email sign up, and we will send you every morning at 3 a.m. Pacific the week's story. We'll send you a profile of someone in the community. We'll share some stories that we're reading, which is always really interesting, different areas of wellness and health and wine, and then where we're traveling. And so quite often we find people say, oh, you're going to be in Texas at TechSum. Love to catch up and have a glass of wine or have a conversation. And so That's the best way to find us. Kathy travels a lot, as do I. So we're always loving to meet people out in the community.
Great.
So. And we can't wait to see you, Kathy and Beck, both when you're in Sonoma County next. You'll have to let us know and maybe we can have a rosette from Garden Society together.
Yes.
That would be definitely so fun. Thank you.
Love it.
This was a lot of fun. Just great questions and I just love the energy.
Thank you.
So keep going. Just keep showing up.
Oh, thank you so much. We're so lucky and blessed to have you out both as friends and to have you on the show. Hey, Carly, now that we're wrapping up our show, I'd be happy to tell you about my spark of joy today.
Let's hear it, Erin.
It's called being tan and sunshine. So it is pouring rain. It has been raining incessantly for about 6 weeks here in Sonoma County. And my husband and I took our first ever sans child, little bit impromptu vacation to Mexico to celebrate a good friend's 40th birthday. And just spending time to read and not bringing my computer and sitting in the sun. Of course, I wore sunblock, everyone. But having those rays really kind of reset my perspective and gave me time to think about the company and about the show and about what I was really focused on for myself and reset our relationship. So it was very needed and very joyful.
That's even more than a spark of joy. That's an explosion of joy.
Unicorns and rainbows, people. Bam, bam.
Very cool.
How about you? Do you have one?
My spark of joy. Well, I'm waiting for a baby to be born in my family. My sister is due she's having a baby any minute. So definitely that sweet little love in our family's life is going to be a huge spark of joy. So I'm very excited for that.
That's so great.
All right. Well, you guys can find us as always on thegardensociety.com. Just click on podcast. You can also find us on iTunes, Google Play,
Spotify.
You can find it all in the show notes. So can't wait for next time with you guys on Garden Society, the podcast.
Bye-bye.
Be sure to check the podcast show notes at thegardensociety.com for a deeper dive into each episode. Engage with Carly and Aaron via social at GRDN Society. If you like what you hear, help spread the joy. Subscribe, rate, and review Garden Society the podcast on iTunes or Apple Podcasts. Garden Society the podcast is produced by Joanna Newding and recorded in the Casually Baked studio in downtown Oakland, California. Sound engineering is performed by Arnav Gupta.